podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello everyone, welcome to another video and podcast from Fantasy Football Scout. My name is Az. I'm back again, two in a row. It's nice to be doing content again. Something a little bit different today. What I've tried to do is form a kind of hybrid of World Cup stuff and roundups, and something that hopefully people looking at Game Week 17 will be able to find interesting. So if you like the idea of this, do drop me a like, do drop me a comment letting me know. The idea of it is I'm taking the players that I think are relevant from FPL, and I'm going to look at their minutes played during the tournament, and I'm going to check out their ratings as well, thanks to 90min.com. So before we get into that, let's just talk about our sponsor for this video, which is TalkSport. If you haven't heard, TalkSport are doing fan zones across all the different matches in the World Cup. For example, tomorrow on Thursday, you can get a £10 ticket and you can go see the games at 3 o'clock, Croatia versus Belgium, Canada, Morocco, or in the evening, they're doing Japan and Spain and Costa Rica versus Germany. They've got them pretty much every day going on. So, you know, Friday, you've got South Korea versus Portugal, Ghana versus Uruguay, and in the evening, Serbia, Switzerland, Cameroon, Brazil. And then, of course, the last 16 games kick off. So Netherlands versus the USA at 3 o'clock. On Saturday. So if you want to have a beer with like-minded people, watch the football, do check out the TalkSport fan zones. It's in the same place as Fantasy Fest, which is in Leake Street Arches in Waterloo. There's a link in the description for you to check it out. Right, let's start with this video. Obviously, it's a bit of a strange format. My table is a little bit weird, which I will explain. Basically, all I've done is I've looked at the minutes played and I've taken the rating, as I mentioned, from 90min.com. I was originally going to do every player that's playing in the Premier League and is at the World Cup, and then I thought actually quite a lot of these players aren't really going to be big considerations for us. A lot of the defensive midfielders, for example, or players that aren't really kind of getting into their team. I have taken some that I think could break into the team. For example, if they have a really, really good World Cup and they go back full of confidence, maybe they'll find a way into the starting 11. If there are any players that are at the World Cup that are playing in the Premier League that aren't on this list that you would like to see, drop me a comment and I promise you I will add them in for the next video. There's bound to be some players that I've missed. But what I'm going to do is I'm just going to talk through these players, talk about how they're getting on so far in the World Cup, and if I think they could be a factor for us for our Game Week 17 drafts. And obviously as the weeks go on and the World Cup progresses, I'll update these tables. It'll help us keep track of all the minutes that these players are playing, so we'll know whether they're going to be rested, you know, if they go out early, or whether they're going to have played loads of minutes and be really tired, and probably, you know, even if they have a great tournament and go really far, they might not be coming in for that really kind of intense period around Boxing Day and beyond. So this is a way of kind of managing and maintaining and looking at all the players that are playing in the tournament. So I've done this by alphabetical order. Agüero at West Ham, he's played two successive 90 minutes for Morocco, who are doing really well, looking really good. Two sort of stellar performances for him. Now, 90min.com, the ratings are amazing. They can range on the harsh side at times. So a player very rarely gets above a 7. So a 7 is a really, really good rating. A 6 is kind of solid. And then anything below is kind of a little bit poor. But yeah, do check him out. The ratings are really good on that website. And I thought it'd be easier than me. I admit I haven't watched every game. I've watched quite a lot. But the 90min.com guys obviously watch every game, and you know, it gives us a consistent rating across the board. So Morocco playing really well. I don't think we've seen Agüero play for West Ham yet, but there's a lot of hope that he can come in and shore up that back line. West Ham got some, you know, really, really good players. We'll talk about Paqueta in a bit as well. Morocco playing really well, and you know, two solid performances doesn't exactly harm his chances. Akanji, Switzerland, got his highest play, 290 minutes. You know, obviously been a great player for Man City so far, broken that sort of, you know, Laporte, Diaz, Stones, Trinity up, and added even more rotation in. Could even play at right back as well. Young player, really good performance for him against Brazil, a 7 rating in that, even though they lost the game. So again, I think he's going to go back to Man City, whatever happens to Switzerland. And you know, his stock is going to be even further kind of enhanced. So, you know, I think it just makes that Man City centre-backs a no-go. And Walker, you know, potentially, you know, he has had the injury, but now he's back playing for England. I think the only real you know, players we consider in the Man City backline are Edison and Cancelo, who's next on the list. Not the greatest start for him so far. I mean, a 4 rating in his first game against Ghana, a 6 in his next. I mean, I've watched both Portugal's games. He hasn't really offered a lot of attacking threat. He's been pretty solid as well, which is, you know, how Portugal have set up, you know, solid across the board with some individual brilliance from mostly from Fernandes, but not set the tournament alight so far. Cash playing for Poland, not having the best tournament, had been at fault for, I think, at least one of the goals in his first two matches, 2.5 ratings. Obviously going to be an important player for Villa, and his price has gone down quite a lot as well. So, you know, I think Poland, you know, are going to get through this group. You know, depending on their result against Argentina, and if they do, you know, I think he's playing every minute for them. But I think he's such an important player for Villa that he'll probably come straight back into the side. Castagne having a poor tournament for Belgium. I mean, a lot of the Belgian players that we're going to talk about are, but 2-4 rated performances from him. Absolute crunch match in their next game against Croatia, but not an easy game at all, given Croatia have just scored a bucket load of goals against Canada. So, yeah, I mean, Castagne's been a great player for me. He's not been performing on the stage for Belgium. Might be one of those ones, I think, where a lot of the Belgian players, if they get knocked out, are going to be happy to go back to their club sides and kind of put this tournament behind them. Diaz is next. He's looking solid again, similar to Cancelo. I think we've talked about the centre-backs there. Stupinian having a great tournament. I mean, the first two games looked absolutely electric. Loads of attacking threat. You know, Ecuador looking really good. You know, great result in the first game against Qatar. Decent point against Netherlands. And they'll be really, really disappointed with what I saw yesterday against Senegal, where Stupinian couldn't really get on the ball and Senegal won that game. So it's good news for Brighton. He's going to come back into the Brighton side. I think he could be an option for people looking for a Brighton asset going forward in that. Kehrer, he's played one game for Germany, missed the first game, came in for the second for their decent sort of 1-1 game. Again, another international player, another international centre-back for West Ham. Is only good news. Decent kind of first performance from him. Maguire, I mean, you know, we're not really considering him too much from an FPL perspective, given that, you know, the Varane and Martinez partnership is looking good, but it has been a really solid tournament for Maguire so far. So, you know, if he can come back to United and if he can get his confidence back, you know, it's a bit of a long shot at this point, but he has looked really good in the games that he's played for England so far. Perisic, disappointing in the first game, playing in a much more attacking role. Much, much better performance in the second game against Canada. I think he got 2 assists in that game. Full of attacking threat. Really linking up well with the strikers. You know, I think that the further Croatia get into the tournament, obviously the less of an impact Perisic is going to have, especially when we come to Game Week 17, given the rotation with those wing-backs and his age. And it's a shame we're not seeing him playing more advanced for Spurs, but that's not going to happen with Son and Richarlison both there. So I think anyone who is considering Perisic will be hoping that Croatia get knocked out very quickly. Shaw's a really interesting one. I mean, he's kind of broken back into the England, into the Man United side, sorry. Malassi was there before, but Shaw's come in. He's looked okay for them. He's gone to England. He's put in a really good performance, particularly in the first game. In the games I've seen, he's really attacking, getting into the box. You know, he's kind of nailed down that left-back spot for England. And, you know, I don't think this tournament is going to harm his chances at all for playing for United. So he's one I've really, really got my eye on for Game Week 17, like I mentioned in the video yesterday. Thiago Silva, rolling back the years, 2 really solid performances from him. An 8 and a 7 so far. What else can you say about him? He's just absolutely brilliant player, still playing at top level. And if Brazil are going to go far, he's going to need to keep up these performances, which, you know, doesn't show any sign of slowing down so far. Trippier is next. He wasn't that great against the US, although not a lot of our players really managed to cover themselves in glory. But he was a bit wasteful, some of his crossing. He missed the third game, so he will be you know, coming back in for the next game. Walker played well, but Tripp will be back. His set pieces are key. And he was very, very good against Iran in the first match, I'm really assured. And finally, Van Dijk. 3 good performances from him for Holland so far, as they qualify pretty easily from the group. Particularly the game against Ecuador, he was excellent. They would have been in a lot more trouble without him. He's such a calming presence. And, you know, I think Liverpool need that, because he hasn't been at his best for Liverpool so far this season. And they want a Van Dijk full of confidence. So I think Netherlands can go through a couple more games here. I don't think they're going to be semi-finalists, finalists, but you know, we might see them make it to the quarterfinals. And then he goes back to Liverpool, and I think that would be a really good result for them, because he'll be straight back into the side, obviously, as soon as the season kicks back off. Let's take a look at midfielders. Quite a big list here. Aronson, yeah, disappointing for Leeds, not really playing too much for the US. Only managed 34 minutes, 33 minutes and 45, and actually been quite poor in the games that he has played, especially he came on the last game for Pulisic, who just scored and put in a really abject performance, you know, against Iran. Antony, not really playing too much for Brazil, but obviously going to be really important for Man United when the season comes back. I mean, Sancho hasn't gone away and will be sort of chomping at the bit, but Antony looks like a bit of a bit part player, which is probably good, because you know, the players who play less minutes are more likely to start kind of successive games. But you've got to think, if Brazil get far into the tournament and he's training a lot and Sancho's just been at home kind of sunning himself, you might think Sancho's given the opportunity to impress. So Antony might be a bit of a difficult one, a bit like Martinelli, who we'll talk about in a sec. I might have to put Casado in here. He's not really an option for us, you know, FPL-wise. But it's three consecutive sevens for him, 90 minutes. He scored a goal, 21 years old. You know, I think he's the best player that I've ever seen play for Brighton. And I think, you know, we're going to be hard-pressed to keep him when 70, 80 million pound bids come in. Because even though Ecuador are out, it's been such an impressive tournament for him. And I think, while we won't be considering, I think he'll strengthen the team of any team that he goes to. So if he does go to Chelsea, for example, I think their defence will get stronger, much stronger. And he'll be someone that we, you know, they'll be the players that we kind of look at. De Bruyne, got to mention him, absolutely awful so far. The lowest ratings of any player on this list. Three in his first game against Canada. Awful. Passing really poor. Just looked completely off it. Got man of the match. Wasn't happy with that. Again, then comes into the next game against Morocco, puts in a 4 out of 10 performance, according to 90min.com as well. You know, he's one of the... I think Belgium are going to go out. And you know, then you look at that and you think, well, he's going to go back to Man City. He's going to have a nice rest. He's going to be a key player for them again. So I do like De Bruyne. Complete opposite of that. And always two players that we kind of look at side by side, given a few seasons ago when they were neck and neck for points. Bruno Fernandes is having a great tournament so far. Absolutely key for Portugal. You know, there was some talk there'd be some unrest with Portugal, particularly Fernandes and Ronaldo, given that Ronaldo interview. But Fernandes is creating assists. He scored a goal. He's looking really sharp on the ball. And, you know, I do wonder if maybe he could become a factor for Manchester United at some point. And a tournament like this certainly won't do him any harm. Foden's next. He played 20 minutes in the first game, looked good, missed out completely in the second game. Calls for Southgate to be sacked based on the fact he didn't play. He comes in, puts in an absolute great performance on the left wing, and plays 90 minutes. That's where you want to see him. You want to see him on the left wing, drifting inside, getting in the penalty area. That's where he's been so effective for Man City. That's where we're using him for England as well when he does come on. And, you know, again, I think he's going to be a bit of a bit part player, given that we've got so many options across those things. I still don't know if Southgate fully trusts Foden. So I want to see his minutes managed from an FPL perspective, because he's going to be pretty much a lock-in in my side. If he plays consecutive 90 minutes and we reach the later stage of the tournament, he's going to be someone who we're a bit worried about in terms of the minutes when City, you know, have these three very winnable games coming in, and then doubles and everything. So yeah, FPL wise, Foden's down the bench. England wise, I want to see him in the team. Grealish hasn't really been used too much. 20 minutes in the first game, 22 and 14. He's being used as a player to come on when the game's sort of in the dying stages, to win free kicks or try and, you know, make something happen. He can be used more defensively, give him the ball and let him get hacked down, slow the game down, or get him to drive towards the box and win fouls in danger positions. So that's going to be his role, I think, for England, which you know, is interesting for us, not so much from an FPL perspective. I don't think he's going to be too much of a factor. I've got Gundogan next. 70 minutes. He played in the second game, didn't play in the first game. Good performance from him. You know, he's been good for us in FPL-wise over the years. Is he going to break into the team permanently and be, you know, immune to rotation? Probably not. But if Germany do go out early, which is on the cards, you know, he's going to be someone who I think might start in midfield, you know, for the couple of games. What we're looking at is to find players for those first three games. And Gundogan could go massively under the radar. McAllister, Brighton, he's played 70 minutes in match day 2. Didn't play in the first game. Pretty poor performance. You know, it's amazing having a Brighton player in and around the Argentina squad. It'd be interesting to see whether, you know, Argentina get knocked out by Poland tomorrow, of course. He is popular with some people, given the rockets that he scores. But I still think Trossard's the one to go for. Now, Martinelli, I was debating whether or not to include Martinelli, because he has only played 13 minutes so far in the first game. Didn't play at all in two. Like I mentioned with Antony, I think it's important to monitor how many minutes he does play, though. The less minutes, the better. Obviously, he looks like he's being used as a kind of rotation option. He is very young. I think if he goes back to Arsenal, having played, you know, 10, 20 minutes across different games and not starting and not playing 60, 70, he might be okay to start consecutively. I mean, those games. But if we start seeing him play more minutes, then he will be a major doubt. And then maybe, even though we've got a lot of money tied up in him, we look elsewhere. Mason Mount, decent enough in the first game, I thought. Really poor in the second game against USA. Only a 3 rating from 90minute.com. I completely agree with that. Then didn't start in match day 3. He's the only player, really, that you're going to consider from Chelsea, given their good run at the start, when the restart happens. So you'll be monitoring this, but he probably is going to start most games for England. So, again, if you're looking at Chelsea attack, you probably want us to get eliminated early so you can bring him in. All of this wanting us to get eliminated early. Who could possibly want that? But, you know, sometimes FPL is life. Paqueta, another West Ham player, started the first 2 games for Brazil. Good performance in the first game, less of a good performance in the second game. You know, with Neymar, with this bit of injury, you wonder if he's going to take on that number 10 role and be that kind of creative hub. You've got to think Neymar's going to come back at some point. You know, they need him back, so they're probably rushing. But yeah, good news for West Ham. I don't think we've seen the best of Paqueta for West Ham yet. I think he could be someone who has a bit of an impact for us in the second half of the season. So again, I think this harms him. Being with Brazil, they're going to get quite deep into the tournament. He's playing quite a lot of minutes. It harms him as a punt for game week 17. But, you know, once the season starts kicking off again, and, you know, we're in the game week 21, 22 and that, I think he could be someone that comes in. Pulisic has looked good. Really good. 2-7 performances out of 6. You know, he's the main man, the talisman for the USA. Scored a really important goal, but not injured. That sounds familiar to him. He might be playing for a move in January, given that Chelsea are using him in the right wing back spot, or not really at all. He's got these kind of injury problems. You want to see him, you almost kind of feel like he needs a bit of a fresh start. I'm not sure where he'd go in the league. Would he drop down a little bit to a Europa League team, or maybe a Villa, or someone, you know, a Newcastle pushing for, you know, to get into the top 6? But I do really like him. So this tournament, again, puts him in the shop window, shows everyone what he's kind of capable of. Rashford, really, really good. Scored the goal in the first game. 7 rating. Only got 12 minutes, not really much of an impact in that one. And then obviously absolutely insanely good in that last game. And got to hope that he can, you know, push for a start. It's going to be really tricky. You know, got Sterling, Southgate's favourite. You've got Foden there as well. You've got Rashford with that performance. Who does he go with? I would guess that Rashford starts the next game, given he's got 2 goals. And it's going to be Foden and Sterling on the bench. I think that'd be the right thing to do anyway. Saka. He's going to be really popular when the season restarts. Again, he's going to be main England player on the right. He's got a little break now, which is nice. Wasn't too effective against USA, but no one was. And obviously got the 2 goals in the first game. So yeah, he's getting subbed off early, which is nice. He is getting managed a little bit. But if you think England are going to go quite far, then he might be someone that's a bit of a risk, especially because we saw him go off and Nelson came in, didn't he, and scored those 2 goals in his last game. So they have got an option to replace him, to give him a bit of a break when the World Cup ends. Son, I think South Korea out, so he's going to be getting a nice rest for Spurs, someone who's probably going to fly under the radar. I still like Kulusevski as well. I prefer both of those options to Kane, given that we're expecting Kane to get quite far on. He's got the 4 yellow cards, only needs one more to get a ban, and he's had this little bit of an injury around him, which he always seems to have. But yeah, Son, you know, the fact that Son's gone out early is good news for the FPL crowd. I'm talking quite quickly, by the way. I'm trying to get through this in about 20 minutes. I kind of didn't know what this video was going to look like, and I kind of forgot I'd be talking for every player. Hopefully it's interesting and you're enjoying it. If not, then let me know and I won't do any more. But hopefully it's, you know, it's useful to track this, and I won't need to go through all the different games next time, because I'll have a whole new one. I can just talk about one game. Tielemans is next. Really poor. Another Belgian player who's been really poor. Only 46 minutes in the first game. Managed to start in the second game. 60 minutes, 4 ratings across both. Yeah, he's been rubbish. And, you know, I do wonder where his head is really with Leicester. I think he wanted a move in January. Didn't get it. This was his chance to put himself in the shop window. Hasn't done it. You know, and then going back to Leicester, where he's not obviously completely happy. So, yeah, it's a bit of a blow for Leicester. It's a bit of a blow for him. I don't think he's really an option for us. Trossard, yeah, really surprised that Trossard hasn't been starting for Belgium. I think that's an error on their part. Carrasco's been poor. Hazard hasn't been that great. I mean, none of the players have, but... You know, Trossard, in his 38-minute cameo in the first game, he looked quite decent, I thought, and didn't get enough chance in the second game. Again, it's good news for Brighton. if Belgium do go out, he'll be coming back. And, you know, I don't think he's done himself any disservice. I think there'll be a lot of Belgian fans thinking that he should have started more and played more minutes than he did. Will he start the third game? I would put him in, of course, but I'm biased. Granit Xhaka, playing for Switzerland. Decent performances from him, 5 and 6. He's been playing in this really attacking role for Arsenal. I don't think that's going to change too much. It's just those Arsenal slots are really, really precious. But again, putting in good performances for Switzerland isn't going to harm his potential. Just hoping he doesn't get an injury, because he's a really, really key player for Arsenal at the moment. And finally, Ziyech. I wanted to put Ziyech in because I thought he was absolutely excellent in their last game for Morocco. An 8 rating in that, had a goal disallowed that was a bit harsh. Slightly quieter in the first game, but again, I think this is another one where is he a Potter player? Probably not. He's playing with a big smile on his face from Morocco, doesn't seem to have that on his face when he goes to Chelsea, gonna put himself in the shop window. He's rumoured to go abroad, but I really hope he stays in the Premier League because I really, really like him as a player. So again, someone to watch in January, I think, because if he does go to another club, I think he's given a good reminder of what he's capable of. With some of his passing and crossing and even his finishing when he was marginally offside. Just going to take a quick drink. Got two drinks here. I've got a Diet Coke and a squash. And I heard Carl Pilkington say that adults shouldn't drink squash. And I drink basically anything, nothing else other than squash. I was a bit miffed by that. That's not relevant at all. Forwards, last section. Gabriel Jesus. Bit part player, Arsenal will be happy with that coming on towards the end of the games. Won't go on about again, just worth, you know, it's interesting that he's like one of the key men for Arsenal, but obviously doesn't have that role for Brazil, even with the injuries. You've got to think that Nketiah is going to play at least one of those three games instead of him, especially if Brazil get quite far. So I think he's going to fall into a bit of an annoying category of not going to play too many minutes, but it's probably too big a risk to start with when the season re-kicks off. Jimenez been poor for Mexico, not started either of the two games. You know, last season he came back from that horrible injury and we were wondering whether it would kind of affect him. I think it has. I think that's clear now. He's been poor for Wolves. He's been poor for Mexico. They've got a new manager now, but I don't think he's going to break into that forward thinking. Kane, I mean, good performances from him. He's had this kind of little bit of an injury, 2 sevens and a 6. No goal for him so far, but he has got the most assists so far in the tournament. He'll be desperate to get on the score sheet. I mean, he's the golden boot is looking probably pretty unlikely unless he can hit a monster score against Senegal, given that Rashford and Mbappe have already got 3. There's other players on 2. He's going to need, you know, the golden boot isn't going to happen for him, I don't think. But, you know, it doesn't matter. Hopefully he's a team player and he can carry on getting the assists for us because, we need him. Mitrovic, really poor in the first game. Just looked completely lost. They couldn't get the ball to him. It was against Brazil, so it's hard to judge, but yeah, just didn't look right. Second game, I mean, he had so many chances in that second game. So a completely different team. They were just completely geared up to get the ball to him. They scored 3 goals. He got one of them, but he missed so many chances in that match. You'll be really disappointed with that. And I think Serbia will probably end up going out. So yeah, Mitrovic will be maybe quite an important player for us given when the season restarts, given they've got that double game week pretty early on, and given what he's been doing in the league so far. Kiefer Moore, one of the players of the tournament in the first two matches. Absolutely excellent in his cameo in the first game. Started the game against Iran, looked really, really good. They just couldn't find a way through. And then he starts against England and was awful. I mean, Wales in general were awful, but oh my God, Kiefer Moore, one of the worst performances so far. From anyone, just couldn't get the ball, did look lost when he had it, and I don't think he's going to be too much of a factor for us, given the Bournemouth have got Solanke as well. Nunes looked bright and sharp in the first match, played the 90 minutes, couldn't get a goal, couldn't find any way through South Korea, who defended really well. Really poor performance, I thought, in the second game, though, against Portugal. I think Uruguay in general were pretty poor, only got 72 minutes. You know, they've got Cavani and Suarez ageing, and, you know, they looked better when they came on. I thought so. Typical Nunes, bright and then nothing. Be interesting to see how he gets on in the third game. Richarlison, 2 goals in his first game, got a 7 rating. Was pretty anonymous up until then. Obviously got the two key goals, and then sort of didn't really do much in the second game. Brazil generally struggled with the Swiss. Defended really, really well in that match. So got to think he's going to keep leading the line for Brazil throughout the tournament. And he comes back to the Premier League and he's back into this rotation with Kane, Son and Kulusevski, and Kulusevski going to have had the rest. Son's gone out early. So I don't think Richarlison's going to be a factor in our FPL teams for Game Week 17, at least. And then my final player is Callum Wilson. He's going to be really, really popular when the season restarts, and for good reason. I think these minutes are just really good for him, generally. You know, 15 minutes and 32 minutes. That's fine. That's what I want to see from Callum Wilson. I don't see any training ground injuries. I don't want to see him get injured in a match. I want to see him get through the World Cup, England to win it, and for Wilson to have played a decent amount of time without, you know, getting himself over fatigued, because he's going to be a key person for Newcastle when he comes back. So that's it. That's my list. As I mentioned, if there's any players you think that I'm missing that you'd like me to talk about and to track, do drop their names in the comments. The ratings, I can't help. They're from 90min.com, but maybe you don't agree with some of them. As I said, they do go on the low side, I think, for some of these. But yeah, again, thanks to them for taking the time to do match reports for every match. They're in no way affiliated with Scout, but I do read all their ratings across different matches. So yeah, thank you to them for that. But I think that's it from me. Thank you, everyone, for watching. I'll be back tomorrow with a team reveal from Sam. Team reveal in the loosest sense for Game Week 17. A team draft is probably a better way of saying it. And for now, enjoy the World Cup and good luck to England at the weekend.